Blog Talk Radio.
Baruch Hashem, this is Mark Lichtenwalter. This is Fundamentally Mormon coming to you live on this 23rd day of October 2018. We are continuing on with the reading of Judas Iscariot, Chapter 3, Part 1, Traitors to Men and God. We are broadcasting live on Facebook and YouTube. The Facebook page to go to watch that video is facebook.com/LAZURUS1977. The YouTube page is youtube.com/user/ God is my compass. And the channel name is Messiah Ben Joseph, or you can find me on either one by typing in my name, Mark Lichtenwalter. The guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. We do go live every day at 9:30 in the morning to do this radio show, at least for the time being. There are 100 lines available for people who want to listen on their phones, for people who do not want to use their data up. If you have a question or a comment, you can always push 1. And if we have time, I will show, bring you up on the studio for your question or comment. You can also make comments on the Facebook page, facebook.com/LAZURUS1977. And as always, we post everything that we do here, complete with the text of what I am reading and giving commentary on. The text can be found at Zion's Redemption Bookstore, which is a page, my page on Facebook, and I do post in several groups on Facebook as well. So, all right, let's just get right into the reading today. If everybody can hear me just fine, just let me know if you can. If you can't, sorry about that. I don't know what's going on with this mic. Like yesterday, we did a YouTube video for what I read yesterday, and there was no sound. It didn't download. This little red light right here was on, which tells me it was connected. No idea what happened. So, and I spent a good deal of time trying to figure it out yesterday. Now, I've decided, since I've been having so many problems with Facebook, I am actually using this microphone right here for the YouTube video, or for the Facebook videos. I'm sorry. I've been having problems with YouTube, so I'm using this microphone here for the Facebook today. I usually like to get the better audio on YouTube, but since I've been having problems several times where the audio did not record to the video and it's just a silent video watching me for an hour, you know, talk, no sound. So anyway, that's the way it goes. So all right, let's just get right into the reading. Like I said before, this is Chapter 3 of Judas Iscariot, Traitors to Men and God, Part 1, by Ogden Kraut. You can also read this book for free online without commentary for yourself at ogdenkraut.com. Click on Read Ogden's Books and scroll down to the title, Judas Iscariot. And I'll give you the page number as soon as we get to it. I testify again, as the Lord lives, God never will acknowledge any traitor or apostate. End quote. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 375. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. There is no hurt, no grief, nor any suffering quite as painful as that which can be caused by someone you trust, love, or call a friend. It takes someone from within your own ranks, a traitor, to cause the greatest damage and deepest sorrow, like the collapse of the Holy Roman Empire that fell because of the weakness of its own people, or similarly, the Great Wall of China that had been breached 3 times, not by power of the enemy, but because the gatekeepers had been bribed. The great cause of freedom in America was nearly lost when General Benedict Arnold collaborated with the enemy. armies, nations, and even the gospel of Jesus Christ have had their deepest wounds from within their own ranks that prove themselves to be traitors. The devil knows that he can gain his most devastating victories by working from within the ranks rather than by force from without. From the time of Cain to the present, there is always a path of blood, destruction, and apostasy created by men, like Judas, who loved darkness more than light because they turned traitor to the cause they were enlisted to serve. There is a reason why men fall from the high and holy callings that they have attained. Brigham Young explains why some men become traitors when he said, quote, excuse me, we're on page 28. Brigham Young, let's see here. We have the best and the worst. Why the worst? Because the devil prompts men and women of the meanest and lowest grade to embrace the gospel and get a foothold in the kingdom of God to destroy it. End quote. He then added, quote, if you want to see the principle of devilism to perfection, hunt though among those who have once enjoyed the faith of the holy gospel and then forsaken their religion. Journal of Discourses, Volume 7, page 145. The gospel writers and the apostles usually referred to Judas Iscariot in the following terms. Judas Iscariot, oh, this is a quote, which was also the traitor. Luke chapter 16, I'm sorry, chapter 6, verse 16. The appellation was earned and well attached to Judas, for it was his most famous act. Betrayal or treacherous acts are all solemn and saddening. Those who forsake or turn against their family leave broken hearts. Those who betray the confidence of an organization prove to be unworthy of trust by any other company and can be punished by the law. Excuse me. Ugh. I tried to hit that mute button there. It didn't work. I'm still dealing with the cold that I have had since last Thursday, so I hope you'll bear with me. Everybody can hear me, right? Just type in the comments, especially on Facebook, that you can hear me and let me know. So we've been having problems with the sound lately. So anyway, I'll continue on. And he that betrays or acts as traitor to his country is often worthy of death. But the sin of betrayal to God is more serious, more terrible, and worse in the final judgment that man has conceived of. The prophet Joseph Smith gave this timely warning, quote, O ye 12 and all saints, profit by this important key, that in all your trials, troubles, and temptations, affliction, bonds, imprisonments, and death, see to it that you do not betray heaven, that you do not betray Jesus Christ, that you do not betray the brethren, that you do not betray the revelations of God, whether in the Bible, the Book of Mormon, or the Doctrine and Covenants, or any other that ever was or ever will be given and revealed unto man in this world, or that which is to come. Yea, in all your kicking and flounderings, see to it that you do not this thing, lest innocent blood be found upon your skirts, and you go down to hell. All other sins are not to be compared to the sinning against the Holy Ghost, and proving a traitor to the brethren. Oh, okay, I have to wait for this. So I wanted to say something real quick. I've got somebody calling me. I forgot to put it on mute or on the airplane mode. So one of the things that the LDS Church says is the sin next to murder is sexual sin because of a thing in the Book of Mormon, which I can see how they get that kind of. But the actual sin that is a sin next to murder is doing something that causes people not to want to join the kingdom of God, not to partake of salvation. That sin is very wicked. Acting in such a way that makes it so that people don't want to have anything to do with the church or Jesus Christ or Jehovah or Elohim, that is a sin next to murder. It's not sexual sin. I can't remember what his name is in the Book of Mormon, that he was a missionary, right? And he was dealing with this harlot, and he was hanging around these people way too much, and who knows what he was doing. I mean, we only have an abridgment of what the actual record was, so we don't know exactly what the details were. But his actions caused it so that good people did not want to have anything to do with the Church of God on the earth. Is the sin next to murder? And when people... Hold on, I gotta fix this real quick. When people act in such a way that they are better than other people, or they are not forgiving of other people's weaknesses, and they are judgmental, and cause it so that people don't want to have anything to do with the salvation of Yeshua, our Messiah, that is the sin next to murder. And that is next to murder, and that's next to denial of the Holy Ghost right there. And unfortunately, there are way too many people like that in the churches throughout the world, that they are very judgmental and they just want to... Wow. Well, okay, I guess we're not going to have a YouTube video again because it just reset. I don't know what to do. I'm trying to do the best that I can, but all we're going to have today is the Facebook. Hopefully everything goes well with that. So, but no YouTube today because it just reset for no reason at all. You know, if you keep your head down and you don't fight for the cause of the kingdom, the devil won't take notice of you. But if you do anything that is to advance the work of the kingdom of God upon the earth, you're going to be attacked one way or the other, or many ways. You know, because the devil's deceived the whole world, and we're all part of... Oh, geez, here, hold on, I just got to fix this. Anyway, and that comes through technological things too, like what keeps happening with this. You know, there's no reason for it. I've made so many videos using my iPhone, you know, but like while I do the radio show, it just resets for no reason at all. So I don't know what to tell you. Anyway, at least we have the radio, the audio that's going through this headset that I have, and for the time being, the Facebook video, which I will post later on. So, all right. So, continuing with the reading, so great are the spiritual sins of traitors that God will never recognize them in places of trust again. The majority of most sins are committed through personal weaknesses, but the sins of a betrayer or traitor are willful and intentional, done to cause trouble to those they once called friends. I would say that also a traitor might be somebody who is doing something that they think is good for the kingdom, like lying and saying that, like Wilford Woodruff said, that the leaders of the church can never lead you astray. That one false doctrine, and I know there's a lot of people are like, well, the leaders can't lead you astray. Okay, hear me out. Brigham Young taught the Adam God doctrine. It's in the Journal of Discourses. I have a set of them right over there on my shelf, and I've read these things for myself. It's also in many other books and are the early church founders. That doctrine was taught to him by Joseph Smith. That's what Brigham Young said in the School of the Prophets or whatever, but that was taught to him by Joseph Smith. That was the official doctrine of the church for like 40-something years. Now, Bruce R. McConkie, who died in the 80s, who was an apostle in the LDS Church, said that it was one of the seven deadly heresies of Brigham Young. One of the seven deadly heresies of Brigham Young. I've read that talk. It was a BYU talk. I can't remember what the other heresies were, but apparently Brigham Young taught seven deadly heresies and led the church astray in doctrine. Yet these guys today say that the church can never, or the leaders of the church cannot lead you astray. They both cannot be true. If Brigham Young could lead them astray, being the second leader in the LDS Church in this dispensation, and the Church of Jesus Christ upon the earth in this dispensation, then why is it that they say that they cannot lead you astray? That doctrine was created by Wilford Woodruff in the 1890s because in the 1890s, he made a pact with the devil, or I'm sorry, Babylon the Great, to do away with plural celestial marriage, which everybody knows about, but less, or something else that isn't talked about, is United Orders. They did away with all the United Orders, which is the foundation of the law of consecration, which we all covenant to live in the temples. And also, they did away with something called the Council of 50, which was the political kingdom of God on the earth. Because of the backlash caused by these changes within the church by Wilford Woodruff, even though he had previously received revelation and visitation by John Taylor is the one that received the revelation from Jesus himself, where he spoke with Jesus and Joseph Smith, who was departed, a departed being at that time in the 1880s and 1890s. Now, I think it was the 1886 revelation. You can find more about this on OgdenCrowd.com by going to the 1880 to 1890 revelations. I think there was like four of them that were received. But the one that was received by Wilford Woodruff was, do not give in to your enemies. Do not do away with plural celestial marriage and these type of things. And he did it anyway. He gave in to the devil and allowed the devil to get his claws within the church. And he came up with this doctrine that the church leaders could not lead you astray, which is really bad. This means that if they do make a mistake, they can't admit to it, because that would be showing that they were not really led by God, that they were fallible, I guess. It's silly. I don't understand why they continue on with this doctrine, but it's caused them to be very hard and to have to like just go along, like with the whole blacks and the priesthood thing. The church did not allow the priesthood to be given to African blacks within the church until 1978. They decided, because of a revelation by Jimmy Carter, to allow blacks in the priesthood and in the temples in 1978 because, wow, my boss just does not get it. He keeps calling me. I can't take his phone call. Anyway, but I'm going to have to send him to voicemail and fix this again. Hopefully I can fix it without screwing everything up here. Anyway, I don't know what he expects from me. I don't have a babysitter for my child. I can't come into work until later. And like, we're on layoff status right now for 2 weeks. So like, I don't know, maybe he just, I don't know what he wants. Anyway, I'll call him later. But because of that false doctrine, there have been many things in the church that, like, they could have just apologized for. They made a mistake or whatever, but they just refused to do that. And they've gotten themselves up on these high towers where they can't be reached. And they've done away with, you know, offices within the priesthood, like the high patriarch of the church, which was done away with in 1979, I think it was, with Eldridge G. Smith. They made it an emeritus status, and then they just left the office open until he died in 2013. And now they don't have the office of a patriarch. Now the patriarch of the church has to assign, or was asked to assign, blacks to a lineage of priesthood. And he said, well, they're Canaanites, you know, where are we going to put them, you know? And then in Zechariah chapter 14, when it's talking about the millennial reign, and it's talking about things that are going on in the millennium, the last like two verses, I think, of Zechariah chapter 14 is then there will be no more Canaanites in the house of the Lord, which contradicts this whole thing with, you know, Canaanites in the temple, you know. But instead of saying, oh, they were wrong, they said, oh, God's finally allowed this and we've gotten a revelation. And then they post this thing, to whom it may concern, kind of press release, instead of the actual revelation, because they didn't get a revelation. They haven't posted revelations, any real revelations from God since the 1880s. And I think the last one was in the 1890, and it wasn't the manifesto, it was Jesus telling Wilford Woodruff not to do away with plural celestial marriage and, you know, not to compromise with Babylon, basically. So, all right. So let's see here. I'm just trying to find the place where I needed to. Okay, here it is. Joseph Smith portrayed his feelings about such characters in the following language. Quote, they, the world, make a tool of these fellows, the dissenters, and by them try to do all they can and after that they hate them worse than they do us, because they find them to be base traitors and sycophants. Such characters God hates. We cannot love them. The world hates them, and we sometimes think the devil ought to be ashamed of them. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 126. It is a matter of record that when communists take over a community, the first people executed are those who served the communists by the betrayal of their own country. The communists have learned that once a person becomes a traitor, they can never again be trusted. If they betray once, they can easily betray again. Once a man becomes a traitor, he is not fit to be placed into positions of trust again. This has been demonstrated throughout the pages of history by men in both political and religious offices. Or on page 30 of Judas Iscariot, chapter 3. The prophet Jeremiah said, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord, or departeth from Jehovah. That's in Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. And Yeshua explained, or Jesus, excuse me, when the unclean spirit is gone out of man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He saith, I will return unto my house from whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. End quote, Luke chapter 11, verse 24 and 26, or through 26. Traders demonstrate that they have lost or never had any true values or standard of character. Once a man is proved to be a traitor, he is recognized as not possessing the mental or strength of soul to stand temptation. Trials or tests, most nations do not allow any further trust to a man who has been guilty of being a traitor. This is also true in religious offices. You know the law of nations is that when a man becomes a traitor to the law of the land, all he has is confiscated and he is punished accordingly. And so it is in the Church and Kingdom of God. Brigham Young, Journal of Discourses, Volume 8, page 213. Most nations of the world will execute anyone guilty of being a traitor to their country. Such a traitor is guilty of betraying his own people and friends. However, a man who proves to be a traitor to his religion is a betrayer to his God, and the crime is against his own soul. Unless you're like, you realize that God rejected the church because of the 1841 revelation, where he said he would reject the church if they didn't finish the temple, where the Father could come dwell therein, that he might restore the fullness of the priesthood. And then that never happened. The fullness never was restored. The temple was never finished. It caught fire and it burned down, and a tornado destroyed it. You know, and Jesus said, if you don't do what I say, if you do what I say, I will fight your battles for you, and you shall not be removed from your place, which was Nauvoo, but they were removed from their place. They were, you know, cursed and rejected, and, you know, thousands died. Everybody suffered because what happened. And they want to spin that narrative into something else, that the world persecuted them. But Jesus said, I will fight your battles for you, and you shall not be removed from your place. But that didn't happen either. So what I do is I get back to the fundamental foundations of the church that has changed the gospel, changed the ordinances, changed the doctrine, and talk about what has gone on in the past. The church, they basically say, you know, here's a list of books that you can choose from to get your answers from. And then they discourage and they try to muddy the waters when it comes to things like the Journal of Discourses, which Brigham Young approved of, which are just full of general conference sermons, you know, back when it was just being written down by George Watts, you know, and they try to get rid of all this stuff in history, because if you just keep on in the present, you won't realize the changes. You know, I mean, the last changes were doing away with the washings and anointings, but they don't even dab your, you know, back when the Salt Lake Temple was first dedicated, they actually had baths in the temple for your washings and your anointings, where you were clean every whit. And then later on, like when I got my endowments, you know, it's like a little thing of water and a blessing and a little bit of dab of oil and whatever in your anointings for your blessings. It's not the same. And they just change. Anybody who knows the garments knows that they change those too. Change, 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 change in a gospel which is supposed to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. God doesn't change. If he revealed it one way, that it should be continue to be that way. Anyway, we are almost out of time on the live streaming portion of this radio program. The guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. That's country code 011. We are in the United States, and we have 20 seconds left on the live streaming portion of the radio program. All right, so let's see. Let me see where we are. It is one of the worst forms of sin and will require a punishment that extends beyond the span of mortality. Judas would fall into the bottomless pit from which no mortal hand could redeem him. Well, we'll Looks like we're in chapter 4. So chapter 4 is Peter's denial. And so we'll get into that tomorrow. Hopefully I will be able to be back on at 9:30 in the morning like I was today. I'm trying to be there every day at 9:30 in the morning. And we'll just go until we're done with the chapter or we run out of time. So usually between 30 to 45 minutes a day. All right, so excuse me, we don't have any questions or comments in the Facebook chat. And we don't have anybody called in. So I'm going to be done with the radio program today. Thank you, everyone, for watching. If you're watching on Facebook, I'll try to figure out how to get this into YouTube. And then, like I said, the best audio quality that you can get to listen to these programs, because, like, why do you want to look at my face? Like, seriously. The words are more important than looking at my face in the background. The radio show is at blogtalkradio.com/fundamentallymormon. And you can find it by searching Judas Iscariot and then finding my ugly mug on on that radio website. So that's at Blog Talk Radio. Also, you know, there's some other stuff like the Kingdom of God or Nothing radio show that I used to do has over 462 episodes. I did one on the garments if you want to learn about, like, because I mentioned that today. You can find that at blogtalkradio.com/the Kingdom of God or Nothing. And also by going into iTunes. You know, just searching in your podcasts, The Kingdom of God or Nothing, and there's like 200 radio shows there for people to listen to. But let me warn you, I go into more detail, and they're between 2 to 4 hours a piece. Most of them are around 2.5 to 3 hours long. So anyway, I'm going to leave it at that. I've got to go see my wife, and I will talk to you later. Everybody take care. God bless, and shalom.